as we come to your word, we ask that you would help us to, as we study it, to interpret it correctly and to apply it correctly. I pray that the words of my mouth, that I would be careful to speak your truth, that I would not in any way misguide or misrepresent. I pray that your spirit would help us to understand, that we have open hearts and be ready to receive your word even this evening. We thank you that you are present with us and that you promise to do these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever forgotten something important? Like your sermon notes? Thankfully, I did not. So you'll be out of here in an hour. But have you ever done that? Have you ever forgotten something important? Maybe you had several errands you wanted to run, chiefly to go to the store and get milk. And you ran the errands and returned home without milk. Everything but you forgot the milk. Have you ever, like me, walked into a room and you forget why you walked into the room? Have you ever showed up at school and you forgot you had a test? Did you ever forget to set an alarm? Did you ever forget that you were scheduled to work that day? That's an uncomfortable conversation, phone conversation to have. Guys, have you ever forgot a birthday or an anniversary? And I guess ladies can too, but men, we seem to be king of that. And maybe worst of all, have you ever forgotten your child somewhere? Have you ever left home or left a place and realized you're missing one? This is why God created women, to remind us of all these important things. Mothers, women, they seem to be better at remembering things than men do in general. However, we see from history that people in general are forgetful, and we need reminders. We need many reminders. And when I think of the reminders that I've received throughout my life, they're mostly, I can boil down the reason for those reminders to two important reasons. Number one is because something is important for me to remember. It's important for me to remember that I work tomorrow. It's important that I remember my sermon notes. Some things are obviously more important to remember than others, but nonetheless, there are important things for us to remember. And another reason why I need reminded is because I am forgetful. We are forgetful. We need to be reminded of things often. In Deuteronomy, we see Moses frequently reminding the children of Israel again and again and again of to remember very similar things. Deuteronomy is a collection of Moses' sermons, you could say, and we see him in those sermons, in those teachings, repeatedly telling the children of Israel, remember this and this, and it sounds very, very, very similar. As I read through Deuteronomy, it sounds a bit like a broken record at times. Didn't I just read that last chapter? Yes, you did. Slightly similar, slightly different, but very, very similar. Now, we could assume that Moses perhaps does this. He repeats himself because he's old and is getting dementia. He was getting old, and he was about to pass off a scene, but I don't believe that is the case. We could also say that perhaps as a public speaker, he talks in circles. I have been noted to do that on many occasions when public speaking, but I don't think that's it either. I think the most logical reason is that we as humans are forgetful, and that God, who was speaking through Moses, knew that there were important things for us and the children of Israel to remember, and he reminds them often for emphasis. When we see things repeated in Scripture, it's not by accident. It's for emphasis. This evening, we're going to be looking through Deuteronomy. We're going to be basing ourselves out of chapter 8, but as tends to be my style, I bit off perhaps more than I can chew. So we're going to be looking throughout Deuteronomy, so be ready to flip with me. And we're looking for some things. We're looking for what is it that Moses tells the children of Israel to remember again and again. When you see the words remember or don't forget or be careful to remember, what is it he's encouraging them to remember? And then also in the text, we're looking for why is it important? What happens if they do remember, and what happens if they don't remember? If you're in Deuteronomy, you can turn to chapter 8. As I said, that's where we're going to be starting. And before we dig in, because we're going to be looking at several different texts in this, I want to make some definitions clear, because there's some words that are very, very key to our study tonight, and our perception of them and our understanding of them may be slightly off from what was intended, and it will help in our understanding of the passages. In verse number 1, you'll see the word observe if you're reading out of the KJV. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. If you're reading out of the ESV, I believe it says to be careful. I believe it uses that word there. this word observe, when I think of observe, I think of me sitting on my back porch observing the birds flying through the backyard, or perhaps sitting on the bleachers and observing a sports game being played. When you look up that word, that is detached observation, right? Just sitting and watching it go by as one would watch a stream go by. The word for observe there, the meaning is to watch, to guard, to preserve, or to watch like a keeper of a flock. When you're watching a flock, you're not just sitting back like, yep, the sheep are out there. No, you have a purpose for watching. You're watching to make sure the sheep don't stray off into the wilderness and you lose one. You're making sure nothing is coming to get the flock. You're making sure they're not eating something they shouldn't be eating. So you're watching intently. There's purpose. You're not just casually observing. You're being careful. So when we see here, this word is translated observe. In the KJV, sometimes it'll be the same word. It'll be keep. Will be that similar word. Remember that this is involves intentionality and watch and care. The second word that I want to draw your attention to is in verse 2, and it's the word remember. It says, and thou shalt remember all the way, and it goes on. That word remember, there's kind of three overlapping meanings to that word, which I think will help us to understand. The first is to record or commemorate. So, simple terms, if you're recording it, right? You go to school, you hear someone lecture, and you write down notes. I recorded it, and it is logged away in your notes. The second meaning is to remember, to recollect, or to reflect on. So this is the idea of after the sermon, after you were taught, you go home and you look back at your notes and you reflect on them. You remember what was taught. And thirdly, it means to mention, to declare, or to proclaim. So you might, then you use that, right? And you make it known to yourself and to others. So when he uses this word here to remember, or the opposite says don't forget, this is what he's talking about. And interestingly enough, those three overlapping meanings are all seen in Deuteronomy. As I've gone through Deuteronomy, you see kind of all three of those parts of remembrance, this command to remember, used. This command to remember is also very, very closely associated in these texts with obedience. Remember and obey. They walk hand in hand. It's meant to be that way. Think with me this way. Your child is going to spend a night over at someone else's house. So you have a conversation with your child, right? Remember your manners. Be kind. Listen to the parents. Get to bed in decent time, and you might give a whole grocery list of things. And you're probably, right before you out the door, going to give a couple last things you really want them to remember. And perhaps the last words out of your mouth are, I love you, remember what I said. That word, when you say remember, what do you mean by that? Do you mean simply that while they're there, you want them to think back and kind of academically pull out that file and say, they said to be kind, and then completely disregard it? No, that's not what you want. You want them to remember what you said. Hopefully it stayed in their brain long enough for them to reflect upon and then to act on. Again, when we see this word, these concepts of remembering or not forgetting, that's what Moses is trying to get across here. Remember and act accordingly upon those things. So I'm going to read through Deuteronomy chapter 8. And again, we're looking for times he says remember or don't forget. And what is he telling them to remember and not forget? And why is that important? Starting in verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with thee, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Did you notice in there all the times, the multiple times he said, remember and don't forget? Verse 2, verse 11, 14, 18, and 19, we see these similar commands. Remember, don't forget. Did you notice what he told them to remember? Unfortunately, it's pretty much the entire chapter. We're going to go back through and highlight some of them. In verse 2, he tells them to remember the last 40 years in the wilderness. Don't forget that. He tells them in verse 3 how they were humbled and taught in the wilderness. Verse 4, how they were provided for by God. Verse 5, how they were chastened. Verse 11, he reminds them of the commandments, judgments, and statutes that God has declared unto them. Verses 14 through 16, he recaps the trials and provisions of the 40 years. Verses 18 and 19, he reminds them of the Lord thy God, their God, who blesses them. If we had continued on reading, as you know, our Bible wasn't originally split up into chapters. You would see in chapters 9 and verse 7, he tells them to remember their stubbornness, their hard-heartedness, and their rebellion since they left Egypt. And then if we looked at chapter 9, verse 8, all the way up through chapter 10, verse 11, we would see Moses retelling them and reminding them of their rebellion at Mount Sinai, the events surrounding when they received the Ten Commandments. So really, what does he remind them of? A lot. I've kind of summarized it because I can't quote all that every time I recap this point. So, really, what is it he reminds them of? He reminds them to remember God. We see that command often. We see him remind them to remember his word, what God has said in his commandments, his statutes. And also we see him telling them to remember history. Remember your history. Did you notice also the progression? Why is it important that we remember these things? What is it that if I remember God, his word, and history, what is it that leads to? Why is it important? We're going to look at this passage and also other ones, and I saw this kind of this progression working out. We see that this remembrance leads to humility. Throughout this passage, he reminds them of who they are, how they rebelled against God, and yet how God was faithful to them and provided for them and has blessed them. So it leads to a humility. We see also, even in verse number 6, and we'll see other places, that it leads to a fear of God. Remembering things leads to a fear, a reverence of God and what he has said. We see also that it leads to a worship of God. Remembering of these things, he tells them even in verse 10, when you come into the land, when you've experienced these good things, what do you do? Give thanks to God. Throughout the other passage we'll look at, you'll see him reminding them that the Lord is a jealous God, and it's him that we are to serve. This passage is full of all that God has done for the children of Israel, and how he did it even for their own good and for his name's sake. So it leads to a worship of God. And fourthly, we see that this leads to an obedience of God. This remembrance leads to an obedience of God's commands. And ultimately, that perspective, that remembrance, and those things leads to a life of blessing. But the flip side was also true. This hopefully is easy for us to remember because it's really the polar opposite of what we just went over. If they forget God, if they forget his word, if they forget him and their history, what will be the result? We see they will be filled with pride. If you look at verses 14 and 17, you see them being lifted up in their own thinking, that they have accomplished this thing, that is by their power and their might that they have received this. You will see also that it leads to a disregard for God. In verse 19, you see a life of people that has no respect for God, that disregards God, his commandments, and his holiness. We see also that it leads to, instead of worship of God, it leads to idolatry. He points out throughout Deuteronomy that, again, if they don't remember God, it will lead to idol worship. Things create, either are themselves or things the making of their own hands. This also leads, in verse number 19 and 11 and throughout these passages, shows that this will lead to a disobedience of God. And ultimately, this leads to their destruction. If you look in verses 19 and 20, you will see that this leads to their destruction. So we see this progression. Remember God, remember his word, remember history. And that remembrance, that careful observance to remember that and then act accordingly, what does it lead to? It leads to humility. It leads to a fear of God. It leads to worship of God, and it leads to obedience. But if we forget those things, it leads to the opposite. It leads to pride, a disregard for God, idolatry, and disobedience. We're going to look back at some of these other passages in Deuteronomy. I'll be honest with you, my desire would have been for us to read chapter 4 through chapter 11. That is not possible. In fact, I had to whittle this down even this afternoon. I was like, it's too long. Cut that. So you'll take my word. Some of them, I'm just going to point you in that direction. If you want to go look at them later, these passages, fantastic. It is full. When I said earlier, it sounds like a broken record, not in a bad way, but he repeats himself. It does. Every several verses, it seems almost every chapter, he reminds them of these things. But turn with me, just so you see it with your own eyes, back to chapter 4. In chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse number 9. Listen again for these same themes, calls them to remembrance, and what happens if they do remember, what happens if they don't. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach them to their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto me, unto you, out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you this covenant which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you the statutes and the judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. He then goes on in the next several verses and talks about the dangers of idolatry. Beware of idol worship, of idolatry. We're going to pick up reading in verse 23, and we'll read 23 to 26. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When ye shall beget children and children's children, then shall ye and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, ye shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. We could continue reading, we're not going to, but if you look in verses 32 to 38, he reminds them of how God chose them, how God brought them out of Egypt, how God's glory had been revealed to them in their time in the wilderness, and also reminds them of their future provision of the land, which they were soon to go in and possess. If you look at verse 39, I'll read a short 39. Actually, that is 39 and 40. Flip over to chapter number 5. You can flip over to chapter 6 a while. Chapter 5, what does he do? He reiterates the Ten Commandments. Those things that they're to remember, he reiterates it here and gives it to us. In chapter 6, we're going to read the first portion of chapter 6. I'll start in verse number 1. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded, to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy sons and thy sons' sons, and all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe, there's that word again, to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God, the God of thy fathers, hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged not, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. If we had time, we'd also look in, we'd look at the portions of 9 and 10, and even into 11 that we didn't get a chance to read, and we see this same command repeated, and we see the same progression. Remember God, remember his words, and remember your history. So the question then is, how do the children of Israel do with this? If you turn with me over to Judges chapter 2, or you can just listen, I'm going to read several verses from there. Judges chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not God, nor yet the works which he had done. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. So as we see this command reiterated, we see this progression. We then take this question, this command, and we turn it to ourselves. As we view ourselves in light of God's word, in light of this command, we ask ourselves this: do our lives reveal that we remember God or that we have forgotten God? Do your thoughts reveal humility? Do your thoughts reveal a fear of God and a worship of God? Do your words reveal humility, a fear of God, and a worship of God? And do your actions reveal humility? Do they reveal a fear of God, a worship of God, and an obedience to God? Or do your thoughts reveal thoughts of pride, thoughts that disregard God and what he has said, thoughts of idolatry, that you're seeking after other things? Do your words reveal pride or a disregard for God's word and his commands? Do your actions, are they proud? Do your actions disregard what God has said and who he is? Are you idolatrous? And are you disobedient to commands that God has given you? God knew that the Israelites were forgetful. That's why he repeated this command again and again and again. But he also gave them practical ways to help them remember. God knows our frame, it says throughout Scripture. He knows that we are dust. He knows that we are forgetful people. This does not surprise him. This is why he tells us again and again, and he also provides ways for us to remember. We're going to look at just a few of those that are in Deuteronomy tonight. Now you may say, I'm not a Jew. I don't keep a lot of the ceremonies and the things that I see written there, and I don't believe that I have to keep all of those things. And it's true. You probably are not a Jew. You probably don't dress like a Jew. You probably aren't commanded to keep all of the feasts and all the ceremonies that are there. But the concepts behind those feasts, behind the things that he says, still ring true for us today. If we were to look in chapter 12, which we don't have time to do an extensive study on that, but he speaks of setting up places of worship. He says, tear down the high places, the places that these other people that you're coming in and you're taking their lands, tear down their high places, their groves and all of those things, and set up designated places of worship. And in there he says that these are going to be places that tithes are brought, that sacrifices are made. God has given that to us. He's told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And he has given us the church body. Through meeting at houses of worship, which we have, we are reminded of God. If you think about what happens at a local church and how many ways it reminds us of God and the things he has said and of his history, we hear the regular preaching of God's word. We have teaching. We have worship. We bring our tithes and our offerings here. We observe the observances that they command us of communion and of baptism. We have fellowship here. We have accountability here. One of the means which God has given us to remember these things, to make sure that they don't slip out of our memory, and so that they are on our minds, and so that we observe to do them, is through the local church. Even in the Old Testament, they had places to go and worship God, and God has given that here to us. So I ask you, do you take part in corporate worship at this building or wherever it is that you regularly attend? Are you faithful to come? Are you faithful to participate and to worship God and to do the different things that are meant to be done here? Do you take part in that on a regular basis? This is one of the means that God has given us. In chapter 16, he tells them to observe three feasts a year. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which, by the way, Passover is a part of that feast. Then there was also the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, as it is often referred to. And by the way, these weren't like one-day feasts, okay? We think of holiday. We think of like, yay, we come to church and they have a Christmas thing. And then we go to grandma's house, we eat a meal, and we open some presents, and we go home, and that was our Christmas, right? I mean, obviously there's preparation, but that's when we celebrate. That's not, you go back and take a look at how they were to observe these feasts. They were week-long feasts, right? They were a momentous part. You didn't just, oh, I just forgot that. No, this is a way of life. It was a big thing. God said, you're going to keep, he outlines here, three feasts that you're going to keep the year. Now, granted, we may not keep all those feasts, but we have opportunities, even in our American calendar, to remember God. Even here in the U.S., we remember God at Christmas. We remember to give thanks at Thanksgiving, and we celebrate Easter. But I ask you, God did put those things in their calendar for a reason. What does your personal calendar look like? When you think over your personal calendar and you get rid of the things like work and all those other things, and you think, what in here helps me throughout the year to remember God, to worship God, to remember the things that he has done for us? Are they on your calendar? Are there intentional ways that you have built into your yearly calendar to remember God? God did this for the children of Israel and said, you will remember me, and here's a way to help you. My wife and I have started doing this. One way in which we have kind of started doing this is we observe the Seder or the Passover. We've been doing this now for about 6 years. We do it on the Thursday night before Easter. Are we commanded that we have to observe the Passover? No, I don't believe in one sense that we are commanded to do it, although we in some ways do when we celebrate communion, because that is where it was through the Passover meal that the Lord instituted communion. But we celebrate the Seder yearly. We've done this now for about 6 years, and it's kind of gotten bigger. It started out with just us, and now the Shrively's help us host it, and we have the young adults over. We did it with our connection group this year. And it's different, right? We eat different food. We smell different things. We taste different things, and we read different things, and it's out of the ordinary for us. But I found it very helpful in that it interacts with our senses. We have to think about it. We have to prepare. And then we have these things. Wow, I'm tasting it. That's different. I'm reading passages of Scripture that I don't normally read. And I'm reminded of how God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. And I remember the Passover, how he passed over their firstborn because of the blood of the Lamb. And remember how we have been delivered from the bondage of our slavery to sin, and how that is done through the Passover, our Passover Lamb, which is Jesus. Am I saying, keep the Passover? I'm not saying you have to keep the Passover. But what are you doing in your calendar to remember God? If you look in chapter 6, verses 6 to 12, we're also given some other ways to remember God. I'm going to read chapter 6, verses 6 to 12 one more time. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. By the way, the Jews took that seriously, and they developed clothing that did exactly this. Was it cumbersome? Does it seem practical? No, but they did. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware and unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. And he goes on to describe those things. Verse 12, he says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Do you notice what he says to do? These commandments, these things that I'm telling you to remember, let them be in your heart. And he says, teach them to your children. And notice what he says. He says, let them be as frontlets between thine eyes, as between thy fingers. And again, it seems cumbersome. If you've ever seen the way the Jews follow this passage, it seems odd. But what does it do? It gets their attention, right? If you had a box strapped to your forehead and you had to apply that every day, it would get your attention. Every time you look in the mirror, it gets your attention. This is odd. Why am I doing that? Why did God incorporate this? They had to interact with God, and they were given reminders throughout their day. And then what does he say to do? He says, interact with these commandments. Interact with God's word throughout the day, right? Not once a year, not even three times a year, the feast. No, he says, talk of these things. When? When you're standing, when you're sitting, when you're coming, you're going. Throughout your day, talk of these things. How do we, or we may not wear those things, how do we interact with God on a daily basis and with his word? There are many ways. We think of devotions. This is one which we were taught even as children. Some people have gotten creative and they use 3x5 cards and they write a verse on them and put them at different places throughout the house. So they walk into the bathroom, there's a 3x5 card with a verse on it. Nowadays, we have so many opportunities in the area of digital things. We have audio Bibles. We have sermons that we can listen to while we're traveling in our car and we have otherwise wasted time. There's scripture memory and scripture meditation are ways for us to remember and reflect on God throughout our day. We have prayers of thanks. This is something that I try to do from time to time as I'm driving to work in the morning, as I set aside a time to pray. I'm driving. I don't have anything else important to do. I'm going to pray. But instead of praying through my grocery list of things that I want, this is going to be time dedicated to just thanking God. And it can be challenging at first. You start and you start quickly wanting to talk about and pray for that. I'm like, no, I have other times I can do that. Just thank God. And you start with things that's like, wow, this is mundane, right? But it reminds you of all the things that God has done for you. And I come to the end of those prayer times just being overwhelmed by God's goodness in all the little ways, what I so often overlook. And the list could go on of ways that we can interact with God. Again, we're not given here a golden standard. This is the way you do it. But what is the concept here? Interact with God's word daily throughout your day on a regular basis and be reminded. Notice in this also, lastly, that it tells them to pass this on to their children. Did you see that emphasis as we read through these chapters? It's not just you remember, that's important. But he says remember, and he says repeatedly, teach it to your children, pass it on, make sure this passes to the next generation. These things that you've seen, the way God humbled you in the wilderness, the way you saw God's glory at Mount Sinai, the way he fed you through the wilderness, the way he brought you out of Egypt, remember those things and pass them on to your children. We see what happens when it was not passed on to their children, as we read in Judges. And a new generation rose up that knew not God, nor the things which he had done, and they did what? They forsook God. And they lived out the negative side of that progression that we looked at earlier. So I ask you this, if you were a parent, or even if you are an older person, I'll just term it that way, how are you helping the younger generation to remember God, to remember his words, and to remember history? I think it's great that the teens are going to the wilds. I enjoyed going to camp. But parents, recognize that these texts don't place the responsibility for teaching our children how to study the Bible, how to be consistently in God's word, on the church and on camp. It's on you as parents. It's not even on the church. It's on you as parents to teach these things to your children. You are primarily their teacher and their instructor in these things. So how are we intentionally helping the next generation to learn how to study the Bible, to be consistent in doing it, to have devotions? How are we doing it, helping them in the area of scripture memory? I've been encouraged when I hear of people in the congregation who make a challenge with the youth group or with other young people, and they say, I'll memorize and you memorize. Ways of getting younger people to memorize God's word. My parents did this. They had two ways primarily they did this. As young children, we had a shelf on the bookshelf that was all new books that we hadn't read, and we weren't allowed to read them until we had memorized a passage of scripture. We would recite it to one of my parents, and if we got it correct, they would allow us to go and pick out a brand new book, and it was ours to read and enjoy. And that was incentive for us. It was a way of encouraging us to get into the word of God, to memorize it. They also encouraged us in the area of Bible memory in quizzing. This worked well for me because I was competitive. I wanted to be competing, and so this is a way of getting me motivated to memorize God's word. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for that practice that my parents did even when I was a child. So parents and older people, how are you helping the next generation? And not just bringing them to church, are you talking about it with your children and with the younger generation? Not once a year, not at Christmas and Easter, but are you talking with them about it throughout the day? Are you taking opportunities to share, this is what God has done? When they ask you, why do we do that? Scripture says, that's an opportunity for you then say, this is what God has done for us. This is why we do this. And lastly, one thing I'd like to point our attention to is this idea of history, remembering history. When God says remember history, and he lists these things for them to remember, how you were brought out of Egypt and how you saw God at Mount Sinai and how he fed you and how your feet didn't swell and all these things, that was their personal history, right? Sometimes we think of history, we need to remind them of what's in Scripture, that history, and this is true. But don't underestimate the power of your history with God in their lives. Parents, do your children know your salvation testimony? Have you passed on to them the times in your life that God, you saw the glory of God revealed? Times that you were chastened by God? Times that you were humbled by God? Times that you were provided for by God? This is important for you to remember so that you can obey God, but also for your parents, for your children to know. My wife and I were just recently looking back at some emails, our earliest correspondence, and thinking back of how we began to date, and it was not always a smooth road. But that was a time that I remember praying intensely for God's direction in my life. He was leading in ways, and I wasn't sure what it was. And I was saying, Lord, I want your will to be done. Help me to follow your will, and help me to accept your will. It was a time of incredible prayer, probably some of the most concentrated times of prayer in my life. And we were reminding ourselves of this and being thankful that God brought us together. He answered our prayers in that way. And I was thinking, how am I going to pass this on to my children? That this story that I remember and that I can go back to and say, he was faithful then, I prayed to him then, and he answered my prayer. He was leading even when I couldn't see it. He is good. I look back on that and I remember that, and that affects how I live today. How will we pass that along to our children so they remember? It's very easy for us to talk about their children, about our children's lives, and to take them to church, but we neglect to teach them of what God has even done for us. History is a powerful tool to remind them of God. So people of HBC, what personal and intentional steps are you taking to help you remember God, to help you remember His words, and to remember history? As we reflect on these passages, the question that begs to be asked as we compare ourselves to this passage and we look at ourselves in light of God's word is this: have you, have I, have we forgotten God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder that you gave it, given to us. We thank you that you gave it to us often. It was not just once, it was not just twice, but you gave it to us repeatedly, and you help us to remember it. Your Holy Spirit even reminds us of the things that Christ has said we're told. So we thank you for that. We pray that we would take advantage of these ways, that we would remember you, and that remembrance would lead to a worship of you, a humility and an obedience to you, and that we would fear you and you alone. We thank you for this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.